Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Megan O'Keefe is on the line. Megan is the deputy editor over at Decider.com, a website that I recommend highly if you're a fan of television or entertainment. Megan, how are things? Everything good?
Everything's great. It's a nice cloudy Friday here in New York, but it's definitely fall weather.
We're getting a little bit of that, too, a little bit of haze. Just a little.
Yeah?
Not too much, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a story I would love to talk to you about, because I've been following this the last couple days. Woody Allen has been not blacklisted from Hollywood, but it's been hard to distribute his films. No one is picking up his films because of some allegations made predominantly by one of his children. But Scarlett Johansson is coming to Woody's defense. What can you tell us about this story?
Yeah, I mean, Scarlett Johansson became one of Woody Allen's primary muses, I guess, in the early aughts. She was in Match Point and Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And the two became very close. And recently, for a Hollywood Reporter interview, she was asked about working with him. Now, in the last couple of years, many actors have started to backtrack on working with him. Greta Gerwig, in particular, was one of the first actresses to say she regretted working with him in one of his movies.
Timothée Chalamet, I remember.
Yes, Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah,
he's a rising star, too. But Scarlett Johansson, when she was asked about it, she apparently paused and then said that she loves him and that she has no problem working with him, that she's pressed him personally on the allegations, and she believes his side of the story, which immediately sort of put her in a very negative news cycle where Marvel fans were calling for the banning of the Black Widow film. But I think more importantly, it might spell doom for some of her Oscar chances this year, because she's had two roles where she's already being hyped for possible nominations, and it sounds like something like this could backfire in the long run. So it'll be very fascinating to see if, you know, she's able to recoup any kind of negativity that has been sort of shown on her.
And Megan, what happened? There was a story a day or so ago about Dylan Farrow. That's the daughter that Woody shares with Mia Farrow, who made the allegations,
yes.
Really condemning Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, she definitely called it, I think I have the quote here, a truly abhorrent mischaracterization. And she slammed her because, I mean, in the same interview, Scarlett Johansson also talked about her work with Me Too. And I think, you know, Dylan Farrow saw it as sort of a, you know, kind of a double standard.
How can you possibly do both, right? One of those situations?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. And, you know, she definitely says if you're going to champion these issues, you've got to really listen to all the victims, not just the ones that, you know, implicate the people that you respect and admire and are friends with, because that's where the problems really sort of, you know, come from, people not wanting to turn on those that they would prefer to believe are innocent, you know.
What's going to happen to his career? You know, for a while, he was cranking out about a movie a year, and although his movies didn't make an intense amount of money, they always made some money, but now no one wants to distribute his movies anymore. Will he somehow find a distributor, or do we even care anymore? Has it gotten to that point with him?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's always been a curiosity around his work, because he is someone who, I mean, for worse, was hugely influential in 70s cinema, comedy cinema. I do know that he still is producing about a film per year, but he's doing it mostly in Europe with European investors. Amazon, from what I understand, has dropped their deal with him, because a couple of years ago they had a huge deal for a number of pictures. And one of those was made but put in the can, will never be, that we know, distributed. That film that Timothée Chalamet starred in, apparently with a character named Gatsby Wells in New York City. It's hard to say. The thing is, it's tough because he is someone who has created so many amazing works of cinematic art that have, you know, touched us, have influenced other filmmakers, but at the same time, the way culture is now, we're less likely to sort of give these, you know, creators who have problematic histories, you know, the sort of benefit of the doubt, so to speak.
I just saw something on Decider.com, and you did not do the story. Claire Spellberg did, but I have to bring this up. I accidentally watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and a couple few hours later, I was still watching it. But there is some news that Kris Jenner is going to be addressing the rumors that she had an affair with O.J. Simpson and that Khloe Kardashian is the offspring. That's coming up this Sunday on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes, yes. It seems that they're hyping it up So apparently they, she's going to finally address the fact that the tabloids keep circulating these rumors that she had had an affair with O.J. Simpson. And apparently, you know, in the clip, her voice is shaking. She's really upset. And, you know, this is what she says. After 25 years, you'd think it just wouldn't a thing. We don't know more than that, but it sounds like the implication that she had this affair is, you know, really hurtful to her, and she's going to finally speak out about it this Sunday.
Is OJ going to be part of that taping? Because he is out and available, and I'm surprised he's not pushing himself into, let me dispute these rumors. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be, it would definitely be something. I somehow doubt that, you know, he's going to pop up as a new character on the show this season. But then I never thought Kanye West would be a character on the show either. And look at what's happened there.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So you never know. It'd be interesting to see if he takes a Twitter, because he's been tweeting a lot now. He's been going after his trolls and, you know, trolling them back. So I feel like if we're going to hear from OJ, it might be in the form of a tweet once we figure out what Chris has to say.
Megan, a couple of years ago, Wendy admitted she had a fling with Homer Simpson on our show, and it didn't change anything for anybody.
Although my kid's yellow. You know, and I mentioned earlier, I was talking about my kids' history class, and they're going to read Devil in the White City. And I forgot Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese are making like a mini series out of this for Netflix. I don't know when that's going to come forward.
Yeah, that has been gesticulating for like years. I think originally it was going to be a film, and now it's going to be a mini series. I mean, I think it's unclear too if Leo is still going to play H.H. Holmes, but they're still, you know, still producing it. And it seems like, I think it's Hulu actually is developing the series.
Yeah.
So it'll be really fascinating to see how it comes together. That book is phenomenal, and I love the Eric Larson, the author. And I'm really curious to see how much they'll do in Chicago, because I mean, I was just there last weekend, and, you know, there's so many beautiful architectural wonders that could be very easily added to the story, because that's such a huge key part of how the crime came to be.
I have a Scorsese question for you as well, Megan, if you're fielding Scorsese questions. A couple of years ago, they announced that Martin Scorsese was directing a documentary about SCTV, which is, I think, the funniest show of all time. I couldn't wait to see it. Now, we're almost 2 years past that announcement, and I haven't seen anything beyond that. Do you know anything about it? Because I can't find it anywhere.
I definitely remember hearing about it and being excited, because I, too, am a big sketch comedy nerd. I think it was for Netflix, if I recall
it
correctly.
Was. Yes.
But, you know, Scorsese is constantly working on things in tandem, I feel like, and they just kind of drop at the same time. And he's also prepping Killers of the Flower Moon with DiCaprio. There's a lot going on. But I would expect, because it is sort of like one of those smaller documentaries he's doing, that after The Irishman premieres and is taken care of, we might see it drop sometime like next year if he's still working on it. Because I feel like The Irishman has taken all of his focus for the last year or so.
So I should stop texting him?
I mean, if he texts you back, maybe you guys have a connection I don't know about.
Nope, he's not texting me back yet, not at all.
Okay, not yet.
I want to ask you about Sacha Baron Cohen. I loved his Who is America, and it was funny. He's getting serious. Can we take a quick break and find out more about that?
Absolutely.
It's Megan O'Keefe. She's deputy editor at Decider.com. It's honestly one of the best websites out there if you're into television or entertainment, anything of that ilk. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. We're talking television and entertainment and all things like that with deputy editor from Decider.com, Megan O'Keefe. I did get an alert yesterday, a Sacha Baron Cohen alert that said he's getting serious right now. I think he's amazing. Tell us about this new The Spy on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a new series. It's a drama for him, which is a huge departure from, obviously, Borat and, you know, all this other famous comedy work. But he's playing Eli Cohen, who is a real-life Israeli spy in the 1960s, who is known for infiltrating the Syrian government at the highest levels. He would throw lavish parties where he'd invite dignitaries, catch them in the act of, you know, some less than folksy good moral behavior, use it against them, and even he would kind of mastermind these really elegant ploys to sort of set up the Syrians for, you know, easy pickings for the Israeli forces. He was eventually caught, and he was eventually, put to death for his espionage. But it's a really fascinating tale. It's a really interesting real-life story that we don't hear a lot about here in the States. And I think that Sacha Baron Cohen has always been not so secretly really intelligent and really deep. And I think that people forget that, like, he's a Cambridge scholar. He's, you know, very articulate. And I think it's a really interesting move for him. And I'm really excited to see how audiences react to seeing him being serious.
I have to say, when he commits to a character, he commits 105%. Nobody gives more than he does. So I've seen him do some light traumatic roles before. It'll be interesting to see how he does. Have you seen this already, Megan?
I have not. My colleague Kayla Cobb did, so I'm basically covering her reporting. It's really great on the site, too. But yeah, I'm excited to check it out this weekend. It's definitely on my list.
I'll tell you right now, I did not expect Bill Hader to be so good in Barry and be such a great dramatic actor, so I'm hopeful. Yeah. I like Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
So it's called The Spy on Netflix, and it is out now?
Yes.
Another Netflix project, The Great British Baking Show. I'm going to guess by the title it has something to do with cooking and baking. I'm just taking a stab on this one. Am I right?
It does indeed. It's a very sort of a cult favorite. It's one of my favorite shows. I'm a big Anglophile myself. And it's basically this very sweet reality competition show where they get about 12 or 13 bakers every summer in a tent in the middle of the English countryside, and they have weekly baking challenges. This, you know, it used to be an import that American audience had to wait a long time for. I first caught it about 5 or 6 years ago on PBS, and even then those seasons were about a year behind what they were in the UK. And then they got to Prime Video, and they got to Netflix. And then over the years, it's become such a cult hit on Netflix that Netflix has now partnered with a production company, and it is a Netflix original. This year is different because for the very first time, Netflix will be rolling out weekly episodes instead of a whole season. So about 3 days after it airs in England on Tuesday nights, it's going to be on Netflix for us in the States. So it's kind of exciting if you're a big Great British Baking Show fan like myself. And it's also kind of a very interesting experiment for Netflix to see if fans will still hook into a weekly rollout as opposed to just the binge model.
And what are they doing differently on a British cooking show that we're not doing on American cooking shows?
Well, they're not starting with the box for cakes. They're going to Genoese sponge and all sorts of things from scratch. They definitely have a more European sense of what kinds of flavors they like, and the biscuits are different. And it's really fun and really sweet. There definitely is an American version of it you'll see on ABC occasionally. But the British version has a sort of Downton Abbey class to it that's very intoxicating.
Wow. All right. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the Venice Film Festival. This is one of the major film festivals globally. What can tell us about that?
Well, that just, I believe it wrapped earlier this week, but now TIFF is in effect. There's two international film festivals happening this week that sort of signal the launch of Oscar season. So a lot of films that people were excited for and thinking that might be nominated have been streaming. Some of them have lived up to expectations, like Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver's film Marriage Story. And some have kind of deflated on arrival, like The Aeronauts, which is an Eddie Redmayne, Felicity Jones project. But of course, these are just early screenings for critics and press, and the real Oscar race will heat up later on this winter, but you're definitely going to start to hear and see various critics pick their favorites for the Oscar race as early as now.
Are you hearing one or two titles above all the rest yet, or is that not happening yet?
The Joker you're hearing a lot about, but it's not all good. It's very mixed, and it's going to be a very controversial film. Yeah, some people love it, and some people hate it. So that one, I mean, it's probably poised to be a very big hit for Warner Brothers, and I hear Joaquin Phoenix is great in it, but it's also probably going to be a very controversial take on the character. Marriage Story, again, that's Noah Baumbach's new film that is hugely inspired by his own divorce from Holly Hunter. That one, everyone is raving about it, as well as the performances of Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. I'm hearing good things about The Report, which is another Adam Driver film about the sort of the investigation to see what the CIA did try to to torture people during the whole thing against Waldo. He throws some of Bin Laden. There was, you know, waterboarding and all that stuff, and it's about sort of the hunt to figure out what really happened.
Driver understands that he can't be in every movie, right? I know he's trying and he's coming close, but you can't be in every movie, Adam Driver.
He's really a good actor.
He's a great actor, but you got to leave something for everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, he's not in a Marvel movie yet. He's in Star Wars.
All right,
but
that's true. Yeah. But, speaking of award shows, the Emmys are just a couple of weeks away. Normally, you're bombarded with information about the Emmys a couple of weeks out, but this year I'm hearing almost nothing. Why the lack of information?
I think there's two things. Like, one, there's no host this year, so it's hard to cut promos sort of hyping a certain comedian's arrival. The other thing is, I think as streaming has become sort of dominant in the awards ceremony, some of these shows are a little bit more niche. Like, I'm not sure if every single person has seen Fleabag. I think they should. It's great. But, you know, it's not exactly your Big Bang series that are dominating the Emmys anymore. It's stuff like Russian Doll. It's stuff like, you know, again, Fleabag. It's these smaller streaming shows that are critically acclaimed, but maybe don't have the popular appeal of an old school broadcast network show.
I'm trying to talk Wendy into Fleabag. She's not biting yet, but at some point, Wendy, you've got to see it. It's just too good to not see.
It's so beautiful. It's hilarious and heartbreaking and just...
All right, that's up my alley.
You would so love this show. You know how Baskets combines really, really funny with really, really sad in the same
and
scene?
And pathetic, yes.
They do that even better in Fleabag.
I will watch it.
Yeah.
And these things now with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, I'm finding myself able to have such a variety of things. I mean, for a while, I felt like TV was dead, and now it's like I can't wait to get home sometimes to watch this stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's so overwhelming. And it's just, you know, it's kind of exciting. Like, I mean, obviously, at Decider, we try to help people, like, find what they want to watch. But it's cool to constantly be able to find things, too. Like, Fleabag has been around for a couple of seasons now. But it's great. It can still be a recommendation for someone to find for the first time.
Last night, I binged the last season of Orange is the New Black. And I want more. I was left unfulfilled. I really was. It wasn't bad, but I don't know. I need things more explained to me, I think. I don't know. But Orange is the New Black. It took me a while to watch it, but that. So now I have room for something, and it might be Fleabag.
It goes quick.
It might just be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan,
yeah, another show. Yep. Mm-hmm.
What happens with a show like Orange is the New Black or S Creek by Eugene Levy when they know that they're coming to an end and they don't really end on a big, like a punchline note? The show just kind of fades away.
Same with Baskets.
Yeah,
to
Baskets,
me, I was unfulfilled as well, and it almost leaves the door open for something in the future.
What do you make of all that?
Yeah, I think part of it is there is so much content out there. Sometimes it's hard to make a big fuss about a finale. I also think that because there are so many opportunities to bring shows back, that sometimes, again, maybe they want to leave things open-ended so they can come back to it in the future. Fleabag, going back to, was supposed to be a one-season show, and then, you know, years later she had another idea and was able to come back to it because I guess she had left it so open-ended. And I think that's good if the creators are so inspired and that they are coming from a point of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
It can get sort of not so good if it feels like an obvious cash grab, like they're just coming together for, you know, the money and the ratings, and they don't really have any new ideas. So,
Big
you know,
theory.
That can be sort of...
And speaking of Russian Doll, I didn't even know where they were. I'm glad it was renewed and there's going to be a second season, but I didn't even know where they could go from that. So there's that as well.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently I think they have ideas for at least 3 seasons, from what I understand. Which I hope is true. They were working on it for years, so I think the team of Natasha Lyonne, Leslie Headland, and Amy Poehler, I'm cautiously optimistic, but I agree, the first season was so perfect that
it was great.
I'm very curious to see where it goes next.
Megan, great talking to you. We appreciate you being here, and I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's Megan O'Keefe, the deputy editor over at Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then a very special guest. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.